Go ahead and open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read a familiar text tonight. And say a few words before I read the text as they're handing out those sheets. Last week when we were away, we did something similar to the fries. We went on a vacation with our grands and the parents too. And there were 10 of them there. 10 of the grandkids, and we had a wonderful time. But we had the opportunity to visit Mainland Baptist Church, and you've heard this. I've been there before. And we go there for several reasons. You know, one is to just, you know, rekindle the relationship with the pastor and all that. But the other is to just remember, you know, what God did in that place. It's a very special place to us. For those of you who may not know, that was the place my wife and I got saved. We got saved on the very same night. We didn't realize how unusual it was when it happened. But looking back now, about 20 years in the ministry now, looking back, we realized that, wow, that was very unique. We together came in on visitation, and he led us to the Lord. Pastor Bird did. It was just an amazing, amazing night, you know. And you know the story. I'm not going to belabor that tonight, because it's not really the point of my message. But I want to say is this, is that we go there, and I get so many memories flood our minds when we go there, at least for me, I'm sure for my wife as well. But one of the things was the fact that when we got saved there, we were, of course, my wife and I are first-generation Christians. And we didn't grow up in a Christian home. We went to church here and there growing up, sometimes more than other times. We were lost, but here we are getting saved in our early 30s. And let me put it this way. Everything was new.
Amen.
Everything. I mean, the books of the Bible, the stories of the Bible, the Christian terminology, even the hymns. I remember singing one of the hymns, and when I got to the end of the first verse, I flipped the page. I figured it went to the next page. That's how you do with most songs, right? And I did. I went to the next page, and it was another song. I said, oh, I guess we go back to this page. Now, we laugh at that, and we should. It's kind of funny. I remember sitting there in the service, and we were sitting up with the bus kids, because they had the bus kids in the service, and the pastor would say, turn to some book of the Bible, obviously not Genesis or something like that, but maybe the book of Numbers. I had no idea where it was. Everything was, I had to look where they were going. Then I went to the whole, you know, the old, in the front of the Bible there, trying to look at it. And there were some books I couldn't find for a while, so I just flopped my Bible open and tried to look intelligent. Because I got embarrassed. Everything was new.
Amen.
We didn't know what a Christian home was. We didn't know, even if you told me a Christian home is, we didn't know, how do you do that? Everything was new. Tonight the message I'm going to give, I am going to plead guilty of simplicity. And I hope you don't mind that. Some of the messages I preach, perhaps, are a little bit more in depth. This one's simple.
Amen.
But you know, when I played soccer in junior high school, and we had a game, and about halfway through that game, we got really tired, and we lost the game because we were tired. Do you know what we did on that practice when we got back? We ran and ran and ran and ran. If we had a game where our passing was terrible, guess what we did the next practice? We passed and passed and passed until we were sick of it. Sometimes we have to go back to the basics and realize many times we're guilty of not doing the simple things in the Christian life.
Right.
And it's those simple things that make all the difference in the world.
Amen.
So we're going to revisit that tonight, if you don't mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, notice verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might.
Amen.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Notice where it begins. It begins in their own heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Amen.
And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes.
Amen.
And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware.
Amen.
Lest thou forget the Lord,
amen,
which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Amen.
He says, put my words in your heart. Then put those same words in your children's heart.
Amen.
And be careful. Amen. Because when things are going well, you'll forget about doing that.
Amen.
And I wonder tonight if we've forgotten some of these things.
Good.
Let's pray together. Father, I need your help tonight as I preach your word. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Lord, I know this is a very simple message, but no doubt a needed message. And so I pray that your word, your truth, would go forth with power and clarity this evening. Pierce our hearts. Give us understanding by thy Spirit. Bring conviction upon our hearts where conviction is needed. Encouragement where encouragement is needed. If there's someone here tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they'd first get that settled. But then for those of us who do, that we would look at our own lives and our homes and be honest with ourselves and be honest with you tonight about the matter we're dealing with this evening.
Amen.
For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The late 1800s, five Christian young men left their homes in Pennsylvania to search out an area in the Pacific Northwest where they might start new lives. It was a trend at that time. People thought, let's go out west and let's start a new life. Well, all along the way, these young men were confronted with sinful temptations. Things they had never seen before in their small hometown. Conditions that were far different from rural Pennsylvania where they came from. And four of those five young Christian men gave in to those temptations and sinful living before they returned to Pennsylvania. Four gave in and one didn't. Four of them returned much worse spiritually, messed up their lives, if you will, while one of them returned much stronger despite the same experiences, the same temptations that they all had faced.
Amen.
Someone asked that one young man, how'd you do it? How did you keep from those temptations? Here's what he said. He said, I carried with me every day a picture in my mind. The picture was of my last meeting at home. We all sat down to breakfast, and as usual, Dad at one end of the table, my mother at the other end. Realizing that there was to be a breaking of home ties in a few hours, there was not much conversation at the table that morning. After breakfast, as was my father's custom, he took down the old Bible and started to read the morning passage.
Amen.
He didn't get very far. A lump kept coming up in his throat. And he was so blinded by tears that he could not read. And he handed the Bible to my mother, motioning her to finish the reading. After she had finished the chapter, we all knelt and pray.
Amen.
Father started. Then he got that same lump in his throat again. Then mother put her hand on my shoulder and began to pray. She prayed that I would remain faithful and true to God, and that I would come back home as pure and as true as I was when I left. The young man said, it was that picture that I carried with me. I could not bear the thought of breaking the heart of my mother and father and dishonoring my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom they taught us to love.
Amen.
Again, he said, that picture stayed in my mind. I couldn't get rid of it. I asked you something this evening. As your children leave your home, what picture will they carry with them? What will they remember? What will it be? What have you put in their heart? The Brethren Encyclopedia, 1983, said this: family worship was stressed during the 17th century. Home altars were common. Guests and household servants were often invited to participate in the worship, which consisted of scripture reading, prayer, and singing.
Amen.
Went on to say this: although family worship is still encouraged by some leaders, the observance of family worship has declined markedly since the beginning of the 20th century. And may I say, from my experience, even more so now. Do you have it? Do you have a time of family worship? Years ago, a prison chaplain surveyed 1,700 inmates in one institution, and he discovered that only one man out of all 1,700 of them came from a home where they had a daily old-fashioned family altar. Later, this same man was pardoned because they found out he was actually innocent of the crime that he had been charged with. My point is this: outside of a praying for your meals, is there any time at all in your home that you spend worshiping God together as a family?
Amen.
Take that prayer away for your food for a moment here. And what evidence is there in your home that you have a Christian home? You see, a Christian home is more than just a house full of saved people.
Amen.
It's a home where the people at home are saved and they behave in a Christ-like manner.
Amen.
Where the God of the Bible and His Word is exalted.
Amen.
And family worship takes place.
Right.
Is that happening in your home? If not, why not? And if not, would you be willing to change that starting today? You can change it.
Praise the Lord.
Oh yes, hang your head for a moment here as you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. But don't brush it off. Don't ignore it.
Amen.
Don't just nod your head and leave here as if you've just heard some good information. Go home and change it. Amen.
Amen.
Make it start happening today, if you will. Well, you can start tomorrow.
Amen.
But make it happen. Tonight I want to preach on this subject: how to alter, A-L-T-A-R, your family.
Amen.
How to alter your family. Or you could say, worshiping the Lord as a family. Now, for some time here on Wednesday evenings, I've been dealing with the subject, helps for the home. You know why I've been dealing with that subject? Because we need it.
Amen.
There's a lot of confusion in our world today as to what a home is. And I don't want to revisit that rabbit trail. We talked about biblical masculinity, biblical femininity, all of those things. But I want to say tonight that, understand something, one of the best things that can happen in your home, one of the best things is to have a daily, consistent family altar.
Amen.
Do you have it? But you may say, I don't know what it is. I told you this story many times, and I mentioned it just a moment ago. I had no idea what that meant. I didn't know what a devotion was. I thought that's something, you know, it didn't make sense. Are you having your devotions? I wondered, how do you have a devotion? I heard family altar. I said, what is that? Am I supposed to build something in my garage and we're supposed to surround it and light candles and incense or something like that? I knew that was not the case. But that's what it sounded like. Well, what is family altar? How do I establish it? Can I lay some foundational things here today that I hope will either be a reminder to you or will help you begin something that is vitally, vitally, vitally important to your home? Let's look at that this morning. Notice number one, if you will, the command for family altar.
Amen.
Family altar is something that God desires every Christian family to have.
Amen.
Everyone, bar none. That means if you're here and you're saved tonight, and you have a home and the children are saved, your spouse is saved, this is what God wants you to do. Have it if they're not saved too, by the way, if you can. But let's notice two things about it. Letter A, the directive for family altar. It's in our text. There is a scriptural mandate for having a regular family altar in your home. We read it in our text. And by the way, this mandate is given to parents. To parents, the directive for family altar. I see everybody looking around, so that means I said something you didn't get there. It's a command. You have to direct it. If you're a parent, or if you're the head of the home, or you're the father in particular, or the mother if there's no father in the picture, or the guardian, depending on what the situation is. If you are the head of your home, understand something. It is up to you to establish a family altar.
Amen.
Not to wait for your spouse to do it or your children to do it. God wants you to both initiate it and also maintain it.
Right.
You know, it's easy to initiate things. All of us, this is our nature. When something's new and we get started, boy, we're excited about it. Man, this is great. This is awesome. I love getting into the bus ministry. Well, let's hear from you about 6 months later and see how you feel. All of a sudden, many times the story changes. We start saying things like this. Well, there goes my Saturdays. And boy, I'm the first one here and the last one out every Sunday morning. This isn't what it's all cracked up to be. That's not what happens in our flesh, in our thinking. The same thing can happen with family altar. We start it. Things are going good. We get a little book or something and have family altar. And then after a while, it just fades away. Time and things get to us in the busyness of life. But notice in our text, again in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently, talking about the children. Amen. Unto thy children. Sorry, talking about the words of God. Teach those words to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them. Notice, when thou sittest in thine house,
Amen.
When thou walkest by the way, when they're lying down, when they're rising up, I can't think of any other time.
Amen,
we are to teach them the word of God.
Amen.
And the responsibility, the command is given to the head of the home, the parents.
Amen.
You know, there's a New Testament equivalent to this principle in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Understand, this is a directive for family altar. God is saying, I want you to do this. You, parent, are to lead your family in family altar. It is a God-given command.
Amen.
You know, the toughest thing to deal with in America is our hectic schedules. Oh, we have all those devices, those so-called time-saving devices that just crowd our lives with more things to do. I mean, we have something to do all the time. People checking their phone. The phone's going off. Got to do this. Our schedules are more and more packed. The more devices we have, the busier we become. And what often gets set aside is the important things. And in the family, the one important thing God has us to do is to have a family altar. And so many probably, I would imagine, are sitting here this evening and would say something like this. Preacher, I know we should have family altar. I know it. We just don't do it. Well, why not? Make it a point. You see, just like anything in life, if you want to get it done, you must and I must make it a priority. It must be something that we say, we are going to do this. It is a command of God. It is good for our family. We're going to do it.
Amen.
So we see the directive for the family altar. But notice, secondly, letter B, write this down, the demonstration of family altar. Not only do we find God commanding this there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and parallel to the fathers in Ephesians chapter 6, we also see this idea of families worshiping God together throughout the Bible.
Amen.
It It's not something unusual. As a matter of fact, it's supposed to be normal Christian behavior. If you're saved here tonight, that means we believe in the God of the Bible, right? He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Amen. And that means we worship Him.
Amen.
Not just as an individual, which we should do, but also as a family. And we find several examples in the Bible of families that worshiped as a family, that practiced family altar. You say, would you give me a couple? I sure will. Notice, first of all, number one, go to Genesis chapter 8. We'll look at the example of Noah.
Amen.
Noah led his family to worship God together.
Amen.
Notice Genesis 8 and verse 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar.
Amen.
Notice he's worshiping here.
I
think you know the context. Of course, the flood had already taken place. Noah is departing from the ark with his family after the flood. And what does he do? One of the first things he does is he builds an altar. And his family gathers together there, all together as a family, praying and offering sacrifices to the Lord. My point is this: here is a perfect example of a family worshiping the Lord together as a family. You find it throughout the Bible. I'll show you another one. Go to Genesis chapter 35. Let's look at another example. Notice the example of Jacob. Genesis 35. We could say a lot about Jacob, of course, no doubt, good and bad. But we could say, you notice in verse 1 and through 3, that he did worship the Lord as a family.
Amen.
And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household,
amen.
Notice, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And we know what they did. They went there in verse 7, and he built there an altar, and they worshiped together as a family. All through the Bible, we find this pattern. We could look to the New Testament. Won't go there for time's sake. We could find families worshiping the Lord together. The household of Lydia in Philippi, the Philippian jailer after he got saved, with his household as well. The household of Cornelius, they worship as a family also. So we see this command as a directive that God gives us, but we also find it demonstrated throughout the entire Bible. Is it demonstrated in your home? Then notice letter C, if you'd write this down, the description of family altar. So what is it? What are they doing? What is family altar? Family altar is also called, here's some other names for it, you could call it family devotions. That's what we used to call it when we did it, family devotions. We say we're having devotions. Let's get your Bibles, going to have devotions. That's how we said it. You could call it family worship. You could call it the phrase I've been using tonight, family altar. But what is it? What do you do? What do you sit in a circle in your living room, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya, and then leave and go to bed? No. There's more to it. What is family altar? Well, let me say this first. What it's not, can I say a few things that it's not? It's not church. We're going to have church. No, you're not. Read the Bible and find out what church is, okay? It's an organized assembly of baptized believers voluntarily joined together to carry out the Great Commission. I think you can mouth that yourself, what I just said. It's organized. In Titus, Paul talked about setting things in order in those churches that were wanting. There was a needed structure in a church with a pastor, and then when necessary, deacons and so forth. That's what a church is. What I'm talking about here is home worship, family worship. It's not church. It's not a home version of Sunday school either. As Sometimes people get the idea, well, okay, we're going to have like a little Sunday school class here. We're going to do this and that. That's not what it is. It's not even primarily a time of teaching or preaching to your family. Primarily, although there'll be teaching there, that's not primarily what it is. Family altar can be defined as this, and I didn't write this down, but you may want to in your own words. It's a brief time each day when the family gathers together for the distinct purpose of reading God's word and spending time together in prayer. I told you I plead guilty of simplicity. That's what it is. It's not that complicated. It's real simple. It's a time that you set aside with your family to get together and for the distinct purpose of primarily, it can be other things added to that, but the primary things are to read the Word of God and spend some time together in prayer.
Amen.
It is a daily time of family worship.
Amen.
That's what it is. And that's what a Christian home is supposed to do.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to do. But again, I ask, are we? I would never do this, but I wonder if I would say this. How many could stand up and say, we have had family devotions consistently for the past month? Please don't do it. I don't know. But I would imagine that more so than not could not say we did. I'm trying to help us as a church.
Praise.
I'm not trying to look down upon anyone. I'm trying to encourage us to get going in this area because
Amen.
A strong home means a strong church.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what comes from this pulpit. If it's not put into practice, it's all in vain.
Right.
What happens in your home determines the health of this church.
Amen.
And a vital, perhaps the most, arguably the most vital part of it is your family altar. Spending time in prayer and God's word with your family.
Amen.
And every Christian home should establish this. You know, families, we plan many things we like to do together. We do. And there's nothing wrong with that. We went on vacation. We did. We had a wonderful time. We planned going to, you know, you plan, I plan going to the mountains or to Florida, whatever it is. And that's fine. And even if those plans never become a reality and just something in our mind, if they don't become a reality, it won't affect you as much as if we plan a family altar and that doesn't become a reality. That is something that is so vital. It's something
Amen.
That God commands us to do, and it's for our good.
Amen.
By the way, we found in our own family, when our kids were growing up, it was fun. It was a fun time. And I don't mean that we were having, you know, like that. It was a time that we enjoyed very much so. So we see the command of family altar, number one. And then you should have the directive for family altar, the demonstration of family altar, the example of Noah and Jacob, and then the description of family altar. Notice number two, if you would quickly, the cause for family altar. Why does God tell us to do that? Why would he say, I want you to do that? Why is it a command in Deuteronomy? It's not an option. He doesn't say, here, say, yeah, if you want to do it or not, it's just something. Hey, you're looking for a time filler? Here's something to do. That's not what he said. He says, do this with your children. When they're standing, sitting, sleeping, all day, teach them the word. It should be in your heart and put it in their hearts as well.
Amen, brother.
But why is this so important? I like the way one preacher put it. I read this phrase. I liked it very much. He said it this way, because the vertical will take care of the horizontal.
Amen.
Think of that one for a moment. The vertical we'll take care of the horizontal. You know, as we do so many times as parents, we're so wrapped up in the horizontal, and we should be concerned about that, how they're treating one another and so forth, that we leave out the vertical. And we forget that it's the vertical that determines the horizontal.
Amen.
And if we leave out the vertical and totally emphasize the horizontal, all we're doing is trying to beat something into their heads that they're not going to get. When we have family altar, it brings that God consciousness. I'm going to talk about that here in a moment. And it'll take care of so many other things. Think for a moment, all of the influences on young people today, much more so than when we were young.
Right.
I mean, we didn't have the access to sin that they do today. Took more in our day. We had to go find it somewhere. Now it's on your hip. Now it's coming into your home. Now it's in your life 24/7 if they have a cell phone, which I don't recommend. I'm just saying.
Amen.
I mean, think of all the television and the advertisements and the news and the conversations and all the things that they see and hear. And much of what they're seeing and hearing throughout the day outside of your home in a Christian school, it has no regard for God. It's an ungodly and unbiblical philosophy. And understand what family altar will do more than just the 3 days, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday at church. They need more than that. You say, well, they have their own devotions. I understand that. But family altar is quite important as well.
Amen.
Because it renews once again their mind, brings it back under the authority of the Word of God. You see, it's not only the content of family altar that will make a difference in your family. It is merely even the fact of having family altar that's going to make a difference.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
That's very important.
Amen.
It's not the content alone, what you say. It's the fact that you're just having it that's as important as well. Why is that? Why is it so important to say, okay, whatever time of day, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Why is it so important to say, all right, everybody's going to stop what you're doing. Let's all get together. Get your Bibles. Let's sit on the couch or wherever you do it. And we're going to open up the Bible. We're going to have a little devotion here. Why is that so important? What does it do? Just the fact of doing that alone. You may say, well, I don't know what to say. And I don't know. Listen to me. Just have it. And I'll give you some tips here in a moment. But what does that do, just having that? Here they are. Three things it does. Number one is this, or letter A. It brings a God consciousness into your home.
Amen.
That's what it does. Ephesians 4:6 says, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Amen.
Colossians 1:18, He, Christ, is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, watch this, He might have the preeminence.
Praise the Lord.
In other words, He must be first and foremost in your life and in your home. And just merely having a family altar is sending a message to your children that God is real.
Glory to God. Amen.
He's real. 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, what that teaches your children is this, is God is present everywhere.
Hallelujah.
Even in our homes.
Amen.
He's not someone that we just like a light switch, turn it on when we get out of our car and walk through the parking lot into church and we turn God on and then we walk out of the church and we turn Him off until the next time we get into the house of God. That's how some families operate. There's no God consciousness throughout the week. Other than praying for their meals, there's no talk of God. There's no mention of God. Family altar will change that.
Amen.
It'll give that God consciousness in your home. And that's very, very important.
Amen.
Psalm 18 and verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
It gives Him, God, His rightful place in our homes.
Amen.
So it brings a God consciousness to our homes. Now, letter B, write this down. It also brings a reality to our Christian lives. It brings a reality. Can I ask you something? Are you real?
Good.
You know what I did for a living before I got saved? You know all about that. It's all a lot of fakes. A lot. But I found out something else when I got saved and started living the Christian life. There's a lot of fakes in the Christian life as well. And none of us should want to be one. Pretending to be something we're not. You see, having family altar shows our children God is real in my life.
Amen.
He is real in our lives. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Philippians 4:9, those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'm sorry, I missed the word. Do what you've heard, learned, received. Do it. That's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Your children know if you're real. Boy, if they would talk, huh? You wouldn't want them to, some of you. Don't tell them. He's real.
Amen.
Can I ask you something? Do your children or your spouse see that God is real in your life? You see, family altar brings that reality. We don't just listen to what's said at church. We go and do it. We live it out. This is real. But so often we come in, we hear things, and we're unmoved by it. And we go out and we don't do what we know we're supposed to do. Do you know what that's teaching your children? It's teaching your children hypocrisy.
Amen.
And I preached on this a few weeks ago. The most dangerous thing in the Christian home is hypocrisy.
Amen.
So number two, again, it brings a reality to our Christian lives. And number three, or letter C, it also gives the Word of God its proper place in our homes.
Amen.
Folks, this is God's words.
Praise the Lord.
This is the Word of God right here.
Amen.
Think about that for a moment.
Amen.
Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Watch this. For thou, talking about God, has magnified thy word above thy, all thy name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's an amazing statement.
Amen.
God says His Word is above His name. Remember, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the name above every name.
Hallelujah.
If He came into this room tonight, we should all bow down, fall on our face, and say, praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, God says the Word of God is above that. Thou hast magnified thy word.
Amen.
Above thy name. Can I ask you something? How do you treat this book?
Good.
You see, when you sit down at family altar and you open up that Bible and you begin reading it to your family, it shows your children that this book is important.
Amen.
This book is God's word. This book is like no other. This Bible, it is our authority. It is our guide. It should be respected. It should be obeyed.
Amen.
We never let our children, and I never did this myself, put a Bible on the floor and leave it there. Never, I'd never do that.
Amen.
Now you may say that's a little strange. Fine, you may say so. You say it was just the leather in the book. But no, I think we should hold this book in high respect.
Amen.
We don't throw it in the trunk of the car, you know. You just don't do that. I even have a problem, honestly. I just do, and this may be a little weird. I don't like putting it in my carry case, my briefcase. I don't like doing that. If you notice, I always put it on the top. When I'm sitting up here, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but if I sit this book down, you'll never see me do that. I'll do this. I won't put something on top of this.
Amen.
It's God's word. You see, when you have family altar and you pull out that Bible and you tell the kids, this is the Word of God, let's listen, let's give attention to His Word. It's teaching them something. It's teaching them respect. And just the fact that you can have consistent daily family altars, altar sends these messages to your children.
Amen.
And that's very important. That there's a God consciousness, there's a reality to our Christian life, and it, in God's Word, it is important. Messages that they're never going to forget. You know, I could tell you story after story. I won't for time's sake because we got to move here. But there are many great men of God look back to their family altar as something that impacted their entire lives.
Amen.
Our opportunity is brief. I remember hearing this as a young man when we had our first child and Felicia came, and I was like every parent. She was the most beautiful thing in the world. More beautiful than your baby, by the way. Amen. No, I'm just saying. I should have said that to Peter's ear. Anyway, that's pretty girl right there. But anyway, I don't even remember what I was saying there. Anyway, I forget what I was saying. But anyway, I know what. My point is it's very important to get them around the Word of God and look back, and it's going to impact them the rest of their lives. Oh, I know what I was saying. People, yeah, had the shortness of brevity of life. People would say to me this. They'd say, it's going to go fast. like a fool, I would say, oh, yeah. And I just couldn't wait till the next stage and the next stage. But you know what? It goes like that. It really does. And your opportunity to impact your children and your home for God is very, very brief. Don't let it slip away. which brings me to number three, and we're done. Not only the command for family altar, the calls for family altar, then lastly, the components of family altar. Family altar is a simple thing. Don't complicate it. Don't make it harder than it is. Think a little bit. I'm not suggesting you spend an hour with a two-year-old reading the entire book of Ezekiel to them.
Yes, do it.
Amen. Amen. Gonna lose your kids, bro. Now, I'm not suggesting 30 minutes of doctrinal dissertations either. My point is this. What we're talking about here, is it can be longer, but at least 5-10 minutes a day devoted to reading the Bible with them and praying. And explaining maybe what the passage says to them, and then concluding with a time of prayer. It's that simple. The easiest way to have a family devotion, the easiest way is to have dad read a portion of the Bible, mention an application of the truth that you just read, ask your children for prayer requests, and then pray, and that's it. It's that simple. It really is. You know, we found when our kids, when we came down for devotions, I always thought, I believe my wife would agree, but I don't want to speak, but I believe she would agree. It was a precious time. We kind of laughed after a while because it was not only did we get together, but all of a sudden everybody told us about all their boo-boos and all their hurts. And I cut my finger today and I did this. And we said, it must be 9 o'clock because we're telling about all that. But what it did, it got us together. And we talked and we learned about each other's day. And then we opened the Bible and we read it and we prayed together and that sort of thing. We'd go around and do that. But let me just give you a couple key elements of family altar, key principles. Now, letter A, write this down. Be consistent. Be consistent. You've heard the saying, failing to plan is planning to fail. Amen. Listen, be consistent. Plan to have it every day. Do it again and again and so forth. Wherever you want to do it, just I would say, do it the same time. If you're going to do it in the morning, that's fine. Do it in the morning. We never liked that. Our mornings were just very busy. We like to do it at night, but when everything kind of settled down after dinner, that's when we like to do it. I'm not saying you have to do that. Some do it at the dinner table. No. But make a time for family altar and stick to it.
Amen.
It's very important. But write this down. I don't have this on the sheet. And that is this. Be consistent, but be realistic as well. Here's what I mean by that. There'll be times where you'll be out late doing something. Maybe you went somewhere, you know, all day, and you get home, and it's about 11 o'clock at night. Don't be a fool. Okay, but line up on the couch. I know you're all tired. It's 11:30. We've been at the park all day, but you're going to listen to the devotion. Open up your... Come on. Be real, okay? It's not the end of the world if you occasionally miss. It's not the end of the world. But don't make it a habit to miss.
Amen.
Be consistent. The number two is this. Be creative. Think of the age of your children, what they can take, what they can handle, what they can understand. You know, when they're real little, it's going to be very short. As they get to be teenagers, it can be a little bit longer, a little bit deeper. So be creative. And also, we like to do different things because, I don't know, I just felt like sometimes just to change it up a little bit. For example, you could always, I would say, have a Bible verse and read the Bible, but you could use a devotional book to do that. You may grab one of our little devotional books back here. They used to put out a lot of different, you don't see them like you used to. Family Time with God and different men that wrote devotional books. F.B. Mayer had devotional books. Harry Ironside did as well. Spurgeon, Morning and Evening, those sorts of things. That's still available. But I'm saying you can use that. Maybe you could even at times, we did this, you may not like this idea. We did, sometimes we listen to a sermon or a part of a sermon, depending on the children's age. Hey, let's just listen to the sermon. Sometimes you'd read a missionary story. Sometimes you'd read a hymn story. Search for things that are appropriate and will appeal to the age group you're dealing with. And by the way, get all the family involved. Don't let someone say, well, I don't feel like doing that tonight. You guys do it. I'm going up to bed. No, you're not. No, you're not. Now, if they're sick or something, you know what I mean, then yeah, I understand that. But if it's just I don't feel like it, no, you're feeling like it. You feel like it now, you're going to feel something else. Amen? I'm just saying. Everybody should be there. Okay? Also, I think a good suggestion, being creative, get all the family involved as much as possible. In other words, reading. You may read a proverb or half a proverb or something. Take a verse each. Again, age appropriate. We like to have prayer requests. You'll learn more about your children through prayer requests than you would imagine. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, two reasons. One, I had kids. Two, I attend our chapel. And we had prayer requests. I know more about you than you realize. These guys do, right? All the prayer, all their hands go up. Oh, I didn't know your dad was looking for a new job. That sort of thing. But I'm just saying. But you learn your children when you hear their heart.
Amen.
And don't mock their prayer requests. You know, if it's something they're praying to God for, and they're little kids, be glad they want to pray.
Amen.
You might want to sing a song if you're musical. If not, then don't. So be creative. And then lastly, number three, and we're done here. Build camaraderie. Devotion time, don't use it as a time of correction. Or a time of, you know, we had our little powwows. We did as a family. And we had to have them. You do. We're going to have a little powwow here, okay? There's some things that, but don't use devotion time for that. You make it something that builds camaraderie. Men, don't be an hour-long preacher through it, you know? Something, and so use it as a time to build your family together.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing.
Amen.
Family altar.
Amen.
So my point is this: starting or restarting a family altar at first can be hard to get into the habit. But when it becomes a habit, it's going to become, you're going to find, one of the best times in your life.
Amen.
If you just be consistent about it. I preach this tonight because I want our families to be strong.
Amen.
And it's going to take effort from the parents to do that. And part of that is spending time and having a consistent family altar. All right, let's pray.